what do people say about you? If you received a birthday card, what would people write about you in a birthday card? It was my birthday recently, as some of you know, and some people put some lovely messages in the cards about me. I'm not going to tell you what they wrote or how they made me feel, but I was quite chuffed as to what people said about me. There were some really nice things in there. It's nice, isn't it, when someone gives you a birthday card with things like that written in, isn't it? Now, what would people write in your birthday card? Now, today we're going to see what different people thought about Jesus. We're coming to the end of John's Gospel. There's a lot going on in these last three sermons that we're going to look at. And as we look at the end of chapter 18 and the beginning of 19, we're going to see that people say lots of things about Jesus. And we're going to answer the question, what do people say about Jesus? Now, we're going to answer this question with 3 points. And if you've got your bulletin, you'll see the 3 points in your outline there on page 3. It says there are 3 things, recognition of the king, rejection of the king, and response of the king. So what do people say about Jesus? Well, in the first point, Pilate recognizes Jesus as king of the Jews. Now, what does Pilate say about Jesus? Well, that he's king of the Jews. Now, we see it in chapter 18, verse 39, where it says, "But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" Now, Pilate recognizes Jesus as their king, but the people asked for Barabbas instead. So Pilate flogs Jesus, dressed him up, and then in verse 14 of chapter 19, Pilate again recognizes who Jesus is, where it says, "Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover. It was about the 6th hour. He, that is Pilate, said to the Jews, 'Behold your king.'" Pilate presents Jesus as their king to the people. Again, this man who holds power over Jesus' life declares that Jesus is their king. And then he does it again in verse 15. They cried out, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Pilate recognizes Jesus, yet his own people don't. And finally, in the last place where Pilate recognizes Jesus as king is in verses 19 to 22 of chapter 19. And we see the inscription that is put on the cross. Look at verse 19. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross, and it read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of Jews. I am King of the Jews.'" And Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." See, Pilate recognizes who Jesus is. He wants everyone to know what he thinks of Jesus. And he writes "the King of the Jews" in 3 languages. Now, what we don't know here is why Pilate decided to call Jesus King of the Jews, or why he decided to write King of the Jews. Maybe he believed that Jesus was the king and it was a response of faith. Now, many of us would say, well, that's highly unlikely. I mean, the man does send him off to be crucified, doesn't he? Maybe Pilate was trying to annoy the Jews, get under their skin. You know, because the Jews wanted him dead, so he wrote these things to mock them. Now, when we look at the motive, it's really unimportant, is it? See, what's important here is this public recognition of Jesus as King of the Jews. It's clear that Pilate is being used to declare who Jesus is. God's using him. 4 times Pilate recognizes Jesus as the King of the Jews. It's no accident, is it? The Jewish nation were waiting for a king to come and establish his reign on earth forever. And we understand that Jesus came to be that king, but the Jews rejected him as their king. They wanted the sign changed, but Pilate is used to declare who Jesus really is. It's probably why he responded the way he did in verse 22, where he says, "Well, what I have written, I have written." He declared something more than he knew, that Jesus is King of the Jews. He was right, knowingly or unknowingly, he was right. Jesus is King of the Jews. But Pilate wasn't the only one who said something about Jesus that in these chapters. Remember a question for the day? What do people say about Jesus? Well, now we're going to turn our attention to the Jewish leaders, to those who arrested Jesus and took him to Pilate so that Pilate would kill him. What do they say about Jesus? Well, they don't believe that Jesus is the king. In fact, they reject the king. And this is our second point there, the rejection of the king. Now, if you look at John's Gospel at face value, you'd have to say that the Jews are like the local thugs. We've seen throughout John's Gospel, this book of John, that Jesus has healed people, he's provided food, he's given hope. And then you look at the passage and the Jews are given a choice. Release Jesus or release Barabbas. Now we're told that Barabbas has led an uprising. We know that Jesus hasn't led an uprising. He hasn't stolen from people. He's done the complete opposite. We know that the Jews were religious and Barabbas doesn't seem to be. But the Jews reject Jesus in favour of Barabbas. They prefer to have this robber, this thug, running around their town than Jesus. See, they expose themselves as thugs, don't they? As spiritually dead, preferring a robber to go free rather than release Jesus, the one who came to bring salvation to the people. They reject the king. They're the ones in verse 35 of chapter 18 that deliver Jesus over to Pilate. Jesus' own nation have handed him over to the Romans to be killed. They use God's own law in chapter 19, verse 7, against God himself. Look at verse 7. The Jews answered, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." Again, you see the use of true statements in John's Gospel to convict Jesus of who he really is. See, Jesus is the Son of God. Nathanael said this way back in John chapter 2. Jesus says this of himself around three times in the gospel, that he is the Son of God. At the death of Lazarus, Martha declared that Jesus is the Son of God. See, this is the truth about Jesus, that he is the Son of God. And the Jews were right to say that he says this of himself, that he is the Son of God. But unlike Martha, who used this as a declaration of belief, the Jews use it to convict Jesus, to use it to say that he is unlawful to declare himself the Son of God. Now we look at this and we know that from last week that we saw that Jesus is in control, that Jesus had power to stop all of this. He prayed to his Father in chapter 12, verse 27 and said, "You know, what shall I save? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come." Jesus knew that the rejection he would suffer, and through his suffering, through his death, it would lead to the salvation of so many. Did he want it taken from him? No, because this is why he came. Jesus is the long ago promised Messiah who came to take upon himself the punishment for your sin. In chapter 19, 23, it says that the soldiers crucified Jesus. Such a short statement for what the cross does. The cross of Jesus was where he died. It was where he willingly let his life be taken from him so that you and I can be part of his family. It was through the cross that Jesus died for you. It was through the cross that Jesus opened the way for us to be forgiven. It was at the cross that the hour had come for Jesus. We've seen this through John's Gospel, that the hour had come, and the cross is that hour. The hour had come. The Jews saw Jesus as offensive, but Jesus saw their hearts for desire for power over a nation. The Jews saw themselves as the religious elite, and they were the ones who could give access to God. But Jesus saw through all of it. See, Jesus saw their hearts and saw a pigsty. Jesus knew that their hearts needed to be renewed. Now we look at our own hearts and we can see the pigsty too, can't we? And for many of us, our solution is to build a nice house over the top so that on the outside they look pretty. And that's religion, isn't it? That's what the Jews did. They rejected what Jesus offered to clean them up and preferred to do it themselves, to build a nice house over themselves with pretty colours and lovely lights. But the trouble with religion is that on the inside it doesn't get rid of the pigsty. Religion changes the appearance, but the stench is still inside. See, trusting in the death of Jesus or the gospel of Jesus gives us a new heart. It removes the pigsty. The Jews rejected Jesus, but the gospel says that Jesus is king. That trusting in him will get you a new heart. It will clean you up and make you right with God. Building a house around a pigsty does nothing. It just makes us appear nice and appear pretty. And that's religion. And what Jesus wants is gospel transformation. Let him take that pigsty out and make everything new. See, this happens when we trust that Jesus' sacrifice for our sins makes us clean. And that's the right response. But it's also the opposite response to what we see the Jews do here. What did they do? Well, they rejected the king, didn't they? We're now going to head into our third point, and the question we're still answering is, what do people say about Jesus? And this time we hear from Jesus himself and what he says. And he says that he is king. Now, to see this, we're going to turn back again to chapter 18, verse 33, and see what happens when Pilate confronts Jesus. Look at verse 18, chapter 18, 33 with me. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews? Are you the king of the Jews?" Great question, isn't it? In the Gospel of Luke, those who accused Jesus came to Pilate and accused Jesus of refusing to pay taxes to Caesar. And they say Jesus claims to be a king. See, those who brought Jesus to Pilate have made this claim. And so Pilate brings it to Jesus. Are you the king of the Jews? Now this question opens up a conversation between Pilate and Jesus. And we can see this in verses 34 to 36. I'm going to read that for us. Verse 34. Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Now in this section, verse 34, Jesus responds with a question. "Is this your idea or someone else's?" he says to Pilate. Now, Pilate seems a little annoyed, doesn't he, in verse 35. And Pilate doesn't claim to be a Jew or know what he's talking about. Pilate wants to know what Jesus has done to get his own people so angry. Pilate's in the dark about what's really going on. And then in verse 36, Jesus tells Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world. Jesus doesn't say that he is king here, but he does say that he belongs to another kingdom, one that isn't part of this world. And then he says that if he was from this world, that his angels would be fighting and he wouldn't have been captured by the Jews. But Jesus' orders on earth are different. He's allowing this to happen because Jesus is not from this world. He was fighting in the spiritual world, not in this physical one that seems to be in control. We heard that last week, didn't we? Things seemed to be controlled by those around Jesus, but the reality was that Jesus was in control. Now that's the reason why we go to the Bible for our instructions on how to obey God, isn't it? We don't go to the world. Jesus is from another world, so we don't look to successful earthly kingdoms and copy what they do. No, rather we go to the Bible and that tells us how to live. Jesus is not from this world. And after Jesus explains this to Pilate in verse 36, Pilate responds in verse 37, where he says, "Well, then Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of truth listens to my voice.' And Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?'" Now what Jesus does here is affirm that Pilate is right. Jesus responds to Pilate and says, "Yes, you're right to call me a king." This is what Jesus says of himself. Jesus has come to bear witness about himself and bring truth. Now Pilate doesn't seem to understand what Jesus means here. See, Pilate responds to Jesus with a statement about truth by saying, "Well, what is truth?" Now, Pilate's got a pretty good reason to ask this question. You see, the Jews have done nothing but lie to get Jesus on trial. And Pilate himself says at the end of verse 38, "I find no guilt in him." See, Pilate comes from a world of deceit and hatred and underhandedness. And for him, there is no truth in this world. It's probably more about power. And so in the end, Pilate gives in to the crowd and Jesus is taken off to be crucified. But Jesus says of himself here that he is the truth bearer. He is the truth bringer. He is the king. And that's who Jesus says he is here. So we've seen three points today: the recognition, the rejection, and response to the King. Three things that we can consider for ourselves. Ask yourself, do you recognize Jesus as your King? Do you recognize Jesus as your King? Now, we looked at this and we saw that Pilate recognized that Jesus was some sort of king. We talked about Pilate mocking the Jews with what he said, but we saw that he really didn't recognize Jesus because he still went ahead and crucified Jesus. There was recognition, but it was left at recognizing that Jesus was somehow different. Pilate tried to let him go, but he was more interested in what the people said than real recognition of Jesus. See, just recognizing who Jesus is doesn't really do anything for you. So we need to do something when we hear about Jesus. I imagine the Jewish leaders knew about Jesus. There was some recognition from them as well. Earlier in John's Gospel, Nicodemus, you may remember, he went at night to Jesus quietly because he was a man of God and wanted to know more. He realized that Jesus was a man from God and he wanted to know more. There was recognition by Nicodemus about Jesus. But what we see in this chapter is that the Jewish leaders around Jesus reject him outright. They wanted him out of the way. We understand that because Jesus challenged their rules and regulations, that they wanted him gone. They decided the best way to live, and Jesus challenged that. Is this where you're at? You've heard him. You've come here week after week, and there's recognition of Jesus being more than just a man. But you've decided to keep Jesus at arm's length, perhaps. You're happy for his teaching. You're happy to meet with his people. But you don't want Jesus to rule your life. As we heard earlier, we'd rather keep the pigsty hidden from view than let Jesus give us a new heart. Maybe you don't want Jesus to be anything more than a moral code. He's got some good things to say. He keeps society in check. But you think that that's far enough. You don't want to take him any further. Well, I stand here today as your pastor with a desire that you know Jesus. To know that he is more than just a way of life, but he's the way to eternal life. That's why we turn to Jesus and hear what he has to say about himself and what we are to think about him. See, what does Jesus say about himself? And what we learn from Jesus is that he is king. He rules a kingdom that is not of this world. He's come into this world and done some amazing thing for all humanity. He came to die. See, Jesus came to die for us. And he died so that he might bring us to God. He died for our sins. He died for our death. He died to remove that pigsty and give you a new heart. Rather than reject the king, we need to accept Jesus as king. What do you say about Jesus? Trust that Jesus is king and follow him with your whole heart. Sometimes you'll feel that following Jesus is like swimming upstream or against the tide. Life can be full of difficulties. And that's why in a moment we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. To remind ourselves that Jesus came to die. See, this is what the Lord's Supper points us to. The death of Jesus. The reminder that he did this amazing work for you. So recognize Jesus. Accept Jesus as king. Trust in the work he did for you. And follow him with your whole heart. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you today and ask that you give us hearts for you. Help us to understand why Jesus came and to recognize him as our King. Give us the desire to let you come in, to tear out that pigsty and give us a new heart. And we pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.